Hey, Brian, you still raise dogs? Do you? Did Ben tell you about the dog he adopted? He adopted a dog from a blacksmith. He said when he got it home, it made a bolt for the door. I should have been a comedian. It's spring cleaning time. How many of you are doing a little spring cleaning at the house? Anybody? Are you, Debbie? You got one of the things you do when you spring clean is you declutter the house. I mean, have you ever tried to declutter the house? You ever went through that process? I mean, it's hard. It really is. I mean, I think one of the reasons it's so difficult is because you at some point you have to let stuff go, right? Whenever we declutter at my house, I'm embarrassed kind of to tell you this, but I find clothes in my closet I wore back in high school. And my wife is always on me. You know, I got to get rid of them. They were great clothes back then. There's nothing wrong with them. I mean, I can kind of fit in them. But it's probably time to move on, right? They've served their purpose. My wife thinks so. She's probably right. She told me I wore a shirt up here preaching, the week before. And I got home and she said, "You're burning that shirt." But we have to do that, don't we? So, I mean, sometimes we have to let go of the old in order to make way for the new. And I think we're going to see that this morning. That's what Jesus is going to talk about as we make our way through the book of Matthew. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 9. This is a passage Jesus is talking about letting go of old things and making way for new things. And one thing that I've learned in my life is that when Jesus comes, everything changes. The old ways no longer work. The old patterns don't fit. And I think this is both true historically and personally. You know, historically, when Jesus came, everything changed. And personally, when Jesus comes into your life, your entire life changes. Everything about you changes. You leave the old behind. You embrace the new. Things that you used to not care anything about suddenly are super important. So here we are this morning, find ourselves in kind of a unique spot. We're at the convergence of three different things that I'm going to try to weave them all together if we can. I might not do it successfully. I may fail miserably. But today is Palm Sunday. You know, this is the first day of the Holy Week, the last full week of Jesus' human life. And it all kicks off, if you've read through the story in the Gospels, it all kicks off with Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the donkey, right? And officially on the Jewish calendar, this is what they call the week of Passover. The week of Passover is a religious holiday that the Jews used to celebrate God rescuing them from enslavement in Egypt. And according to the law of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, when the week of Passover comes, every single Israelite male is required to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem to attend the religious festival. Of course, Jesus is a good Israelite man, and he does what he's supposed to do, and he makes the trek to Jerusalem to observe this religious ritual. If you ever pay any attention to Judaism, it is chock full of religious observances. I mean, they have the Festival of Tabernacles. They have the Festival of Weeks. They have, of course, this one, the Festival of Passover. They have the ritual washings that you have to go through. You know, you have to wash your hands so many times. They've got all these sacrificial offerings. I mean, the list goes on and on and on in Judaism. Because the Israelites, they believe that if you don't observe all of these particular details, down to the very last details, you're a bad Jew. And to make matters worse, in the case of Jesus, you know, if your rabbi doesn't observe all of these rituals. He's really not a rabbi at all. He's not only a bad Jew, he's a bad rabbi. He don't even qualify as a rabbi. And so we've been moving through the book of Matthew, and now we're here at Matthew chapter 9. And John the Baptist's disciples have got a lot of questions about Jesus. And so they have one burning question on their mind, and they approach Jesus and his disciples, and they want to know, why don't you follow the letter of the law when it comes to fasting? Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. One day, the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do? And Jesus replied, do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. The same day, the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. No, new wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. I don't know, you know, before I went to seminary and really invested myself in reading through the scriptures and studying God's word, I would read a passage like that and I would just leave more confused than whenever I entered it. I'm like, what does he even talk about? You know, that's just, I don't have any basis of understanding for this. But what Jesus is, the bottom line of what he's really sharing here is that I'm here now and everything has to change. That the old way that we used to do life and the old way that we used to worship has to change because now the Messiah is here. If you're taking notes and you want to follow along there on the back, that's kind of the first one. The Jewish religious rituals from the Old Testament, those Jewish religious rituals were meant to point forward to the Messiah. I mean, they come to Jesus there in verse 19 or 14, and they say, why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do? Now, I think that sounds a little whiny to me, you know. Why do you guys get not... But they're actually just a little confused. In essence, what they're saying is, Jesus, why aren't you guys observing the traditional fast? Why aren't you following the letter of the law? And so Jesus, of course, doesn't give a straight answer. I mean, he kind of either presents some sort of analogy or he'll share some sort of parable, and he kind of does that same thing here. He responds to their questioning by using a metaphor about a wedding. And the point he's making is the groom is here now. The groom hasn't left. He's here. It's not a time to mourn. This is a time to celebrate. You see, John's disciples, these men were clinging to a traditional understanding of what God required of men. They were clinging to this traditional idea that you can only please God by doing very righteous things, that you have to do lots of religious stuff in order to make God happy. And so Jesus uses this wedding metaphor to kind of correct their understanding. And he says, you know, hey, religious rituals like fasting, those weren't meant to please a vengeful God like you've always understood. That's the traditional understanding of what fasting is. But in fact, you guys have got it all wrong. That fasting was meant to point forward to the Messiah. And now that I'm here, it's no time for fasting. It's time to celebrate. So that's the first thing. When that very first metaphor, that's what he uses as pointing that, hey, it's changing. Those things that you're observing, they were meant to point towards me. But now that I'm here, you don't have to do those things anymore. And so number two, that leads us into number two if you're still taking notes. You see, Jesus, when he comes, he isn't patching up Judaism. He isn't identifying holes in Judaism and trying to figure out how he can patch them up or heal them or correct them. Jesus is actually fulfilling the Jewish law, and then he's ushering in something entirely new. You see, he goes on and he uses two more metaphors to expand the understanding of John's disciples. And the first one he uses is about clothing, right? By the way, we don't really use patches anymore, do we? I mean, kids are buying the breeches with the holes in them already, right? And so nobody is like buying them with holes in them at 21 Forever and bringing them home and saying, hey, Mom, would you put a patch on this? They buy it like that on purpose. But Jesus asked this question because, of course, clothing was super expensive to these people. And if you developed a hole in something, of course, you didn't go out and buy something new. You fixed it. And Jesus said, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? Which is the idea. You guys understand this. After you wash something for several times, it's shrunk. It has a new size. And if you took a brand new piece of clothing and you patched that old clothing, well, when the new shrinks, it's going to rip the old. It tears it away. And that's what Jesus is saying. I'm not patching up Judaism. I'm not improving the law. I'm fulfilling it, and I'm ushering in something entirely new. He actually says this. We read this. I don't know if you remember when we first started going back through our sermon series on Matthew. Jesus actually addressed this. He said, Matthew 5:17, don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. So that's the reason he's here. He's not saying that there's holes and it needs patched up and all this. He's coming, he says, I've come to fulfill them. You see, man can't ever perfectly fulfill the Jewish law because we're sinners. That's the reason why they constantly had to create and give sacrifices all the time. Jesus is saying, I've come to put an end to that. I've come to fulfill that. I've come to be the final sacrifice. And then he moves on to a metaphor about wineskins. And he says, no one puts new wine in old wineskins. Now, I don't know a lot about alcohol, but I did watch this new series in Discovery Channel last night. It's called How It's Made. And they were showing how alcohol was made. And they have these great big vats. And what they do is they ferment the alcohol, the grain, and the water, and it's a pretty intricate process. I mean, it requires several days of allowing all these things to happen. But what happens is as that the alcohol ferments, it expands. And Jesus is kind of making a similar metaphor to the clothing. He's saying, you know, the old wineskins that you would use to keep your wine in, those things are brittle. They're made of leather. They're animal hide. And so after they've been used several years, they become brittle. And he says, you're not going to put new wine in there because as that wine continues to ferment, it's going to burst out of that old wineskin. And so what he's saying here is, you know, the old covenant, we're talking about all the laws, all the sacrifices, all the rituals, everything that people were doing in the Old Testament, those things aren't capable of containing this new covenant, because this new covenant is full of grace, and this new covenant is full of spirit, and it's no longer about rituals, it's about a relationship. And so that's his point. Now that the Messiah has arrived, and the Messiah is going to fulfill everything in the law, it's time to do things a little bit differently. And so Jesus is saying, I didn't come to reform the old way, I came to fulfill it. And once it's fulfilled, it's time to replace it. And so, you know what? You can't just take what you formerly believed and just kind of staple Jesus into that, right? Because he is coming and he's radically shifting how you should worship and how we think about God and how we think that God operates. The old covenant is completely transformative. It can't contain that much grace, the old covenant. And so Jesus is not just reforming Judaism. He is the fulfillment and the foundation of everything as we move forward. Now, think about this. I said at the very beginning, this is a convergence of three different things that's happening. We've got where we're at in Matthew chapter 9, and we've got Palm Sunday happening today, and we're going to be doing the Lord's Supper here for just a second. And so all of these things are coming together in this one sermon. And so it all ties in. Because just like the traditional views of fasting, those Jews, they were holding on to some very traditional views of what the Messiah was going to look like when he comes. On Palm Sunday, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, people like us, we see that, we read that, and we go, what's the significance of the donkey? By the way, Eric's got a donkey. How's your donkey doing? Good? You're holding off the wolves? Good, good. So, but Jesus rides in on the back of, have you ever rode it? Oh, well. So anyway, you ask what the significance of Jesus riding a donkey is. Well, if you know your Bible, Jesus is actually fulfilling prophecy when he does that. Matthew 21 says this. It says that, talking about Jesus riding in on the donkey, it said, this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you, the king Messiah. Your Messiah is coming to you. He's humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a colt's, on a donkey's colt. That is a messianic prophecy. Jesus rides into Jerusalem to the cheers of the crowd. What he's really doing, he's announcing to the world that the Messiah has arrived. The bridegroom has come. And he's saying, I'm not your average run-of-the-mill rabbi. I'm the Messiah. I am the Savior that God promised man all the way back in Genesis when he said he will crush your head and you will bite his heel. That first messianic prophecy. See, Jesus, all during his life, he doesn't fit their traditional mold of what they thought the Messiah was going to be like. They thought the Messiah was going to be this military conquering hero, going to ride in Jerusalem on the back of a white stallion with a spear in one hand and a shield in the other. But Jesus shows up and he's a suffering servant. And so the Jews, they're clinging to these old expectations instead of receiving this new reality. Now, as we begin to move into the Lord's Supper, I want you to consider this. The Lord's Supper, this is a confirmation of the covenant that they're entering into. Matthew 26, Jesus says, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. So we're still in the week of the Passover festival. When you read that, that's the night before the day of Passover. And Jesus and his disciples, like I say, they're good Jews. They've made the trek to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And that night before the Passover, before Jesus, the night that Jesus is arrested, he brings his disciples together and he's going to take the bread and the wine. And he's going, I mean, these are symbols that are already deeply steeped in Jewish tradition. And Jesus is going to take these things and he's going to give them new meaning. And he's going, and basically, this is going to be new wine. And he's going to give them a new garment. And he's going to say, it's no longer about ritual, it's about relationship. And no longer do you have to fast trying to earn God's approval. No longer do you have to make sure you dot every I and cross every T, because now we have received the presence of the Messiah. Everything that those things were meant to point towards is here. It's a reality. Deacons, would you come forward?